to On Spec, where you'll hear stories that bring you closer to the globe. I'm your host, Feri Banawa. The pandemic is doing a lot of damage worldwide, but you already know that. You've been barraged with bad news, death statistics, economic uncertainty, isolation, and now uprisings. Just listening to this story can give you anxiety and panic, but hang on. Don't tune out yet. The impact on our mental health has been severe on a global scale, according to a United Nations report published May 14th. But there are ways to cope. So we're not just giving you another doom and gloom story. Instead, On Spec intern and journalist Casper Dilmarani talked to therapists and one woman who opens up about her depression. Casper takes us to Tunisia, Mexico, Poland, Hong Kong, and the U.S.
I wake up, get out of bed, brush my teeth, and get dressed. But why do any of those things? These rituals often culminated with leaving through the front door or other doors on several occasions every day. Like billions of people, I've been sequestered in my apartment in Oakland, California for over 2 months. Like so many others, I've lost my job and have had to file for unemployment. My classes have moved online as school campuses have closed around the world. Often, it's a challenge just to get up in the morning, and the days can seem to have no meaning. This apparent lack of purpose has put a strain on my mental health. I'm familiar with feelings of depression and anxiety. I've even thought about returning to therapy virtually. One thing that would make me feel better was to do a story about mental health and find out how others were dealing with it. That's how I got to know Sonia.
Ever since I can remember, I've always had the biggest dreams and the biggest ambitions. I've always wanted to do more than it was expected from me. However, when, you know, life happens and you are faced with, you know, personal issues deeper than you've ever thought was possible, you just tend to give up and you tend to lose faith in yourself. That's exactly what happened to me. I just completely gave up on my dreams and, more importantly, on myself.
Sonia is 28 years old and Tunisian. She lives in the city of Ariana, Tunisia. Currently, she works as a customer service representative. She has struggled with depression.
I started having mental health issues. I was a teenager. I was in no way able to make that decision for myself. I was living with my family, and the only way they saw fit for me to get better was me going to therapy, which is completely understandable and rational. But when I first sat on that chair and, the therapist started, you know, asking me about how I felt, etc., I knew deep down that this wasn't really going to change anything. It wasn't going to change reality for me.
Therapy wasn't for Sonia, but she was managing her depression by taking care of her body, meditating, and focusing on personal projects. Then the pandemic hit Tunisia.
I'm lucky to have a full-time job now with this pandemic, but I'm still able to work from home. For me, the bad days usually come during the weekends because then I actually have nothing to do. I'm obliged to just wake up really, really late because, you know, you just feel like, okay, there's nothing else to do. Just need, you know, let's just sleep all day. And then when you wake up, you just feel terrible because this whole day has been wasted. And that's what really triggers it, you know, just not being able to do much during this time.
Tunisia imposed lockdown, but Sonia says people are out socializing.
The people here are still living their lives as if nothing's really happening. Just, you know, it feeds my anxiety. It feeds my anger. It's like, I feel like we're never gonna get through this. I feel like we're going to be stuck home forever. Even if I know it's not going to be the case, but it just gives me a sense of hopelessness. People just don't realize how dangerous this is here. And they're taking things very, very lightly.
The uncertainty makes Sonia more nervous.
What really scares me is, lifting the confinement way too early and then having to deal with it all over again, having to deal with, affected people all over again, and just we have to stay home for who knows how long.
But Sonia's coping however she can.
In order to get over your past, you need to reconcile with yourself. You need to face whatever you are feeling, face whatever events that happened in the course of your life, accept them, and then move on. And the way to do that is very, very challenging, actually, because you have to go through every little thing that happened in your life. You have to go through everything that really bothered you or really just affected you. Your pain could be caused by someone else, but mostly I find it's caused by myself. Mental health is not the thing that's going to make you or define you. It's how you deal with it that's going to define you.
Dealing with mental health these days often means seeing a therapist. In-person therapy was one way people tried to manage their mental health. With lockdowns, that's no longer possible, but virtual therapy is. In Mexico, the government has announced mental health hotline numbers that are rebroadcasted on TV and social media. Alejandra Noguez, a therapist in Mexico City, is part of several associations and networks of therapists in Mexico. They're finding ways to help Mexicans cope with mental health during the pandemic.
I believe having hotlines like this can help lower or minimize temporarily all the feelings and problems caused because of the quarantine. It is amazing the amount of sessions, meetings, courses, training that we're sharing among all our colleagues to increase or improve strategies, for example, of thanatology. That is an area that we will need during this time very much, because it doesn't have to do only with the death of a loved one or our own, but the loss of jobs, freedom, or economic situations, etc.
Thanatology is the study of death and the practices associated with it, including the study of the needs of the terminally ill and their loved ones. So, hotlines, one-on-one virtual therapy, and virtual group meetings are still options people can seek for treatment. But at this point, even healthcare workers on the front line of fighting COVID-19 need therapy. The pandemic has made many people who don't normally suffer from mental health issues worry about the future. Concerns can often translate into fears. I'm half Polish, and I knew Poland's dealing with its own struggles during the pandemic. I reached out to Weronika Lewicka, a therapist in Poland.
Not only do we lack control over the present, but we also lack a sense of influence on the future. Those who experience fear or anxiety or personality disorders, or especially suicidal thoughts, will suffer the most. At the beginning, there was uncertainty about the health and life because of the virus. Now, perhaps the worst is the economic uncertainty, or rather the certainty of the crisis and the deterioration of many people's economic situation. And from perspective of mental health, economic security is one of the most important elements of a sense of safety and mental well-being in human life.
How do you think the crisis will make things worse in Poland?
Anxiety disorders and affective disorders, including depression and bipolar disease, I think are among the most common mental illness in Poland. I guess 25% of people in our country have a mental disorder at least once in their lives, and about 10% suffer from depression and chronic stress. I would add alcohol addiction for this. So it's not difficult to imagine that this situation causes the symptoms of depression to intensify. The alcohol in the store is cheap and perfectly relieves anxiety and improves your mood. I think that after this situation, many, many people will get worse because of the treatment combined with alcohol or other psychoactive substances. But in the long run, alcohol itself makes their mental state worse. And there are many opportunities to use it now, since we are at home and have little things to do.
Veronica says most countries are in the same boat, facing the uncertainty.
But the worst thing to mental health is the plan without a plan, prolonging time in an unknown situation. But that's exactly what each country faces right now in its own way.
But countries in East Asia were the first hit by the coronavirus and applauded for the efficient way they dealt with it. What was their approach to mental health? I spoke to Aaron Stadlin-Robbie in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong have acted really quite amazingly. I think a couple of reasons. I think one, and most importantly, the people. I think the people here acted very quickly and very diligently in terms of being sensible. And that's been actually drawn from past experiences, like with SARS in 2003. Tremendous job doing that. And I think it's because we've learned a lot from what SARS did. And we sort of like, yep, we know what to do here. We know the drill, guys. And then, you know, everyone sort of went into it. So, yeah, I think the people and obviously past experiences. I grew up in Hong Kong, Kiwi dad and a Hong Kong mum. And what I do in Hong Kong is I've started a platform which is called Talking Mental. And it originated when I wanted to find out ways in which I could help my own mental health issues, more specifically heavy anxiety and panic attacks. I think Hong Kong is quite a unique place based on, you know, before the pandemic started, we were going through, you know, a lot of unrest with the protests and things of that nature here in Hong Kong. So it sort of, there really hasn't been any time to breathe, really. We've had the protests, which led straight into the pandemic. So there is no doubt mental health is on the topic of everyone's minds right now.
Before the pandemic began, Hong Kong residents were protesting against China's measures to seize freedoms they have had under British laws. And protests are in full swing again after China recently passed a law to bring Hong Kong under Beijing's full authority. In your experience, what's been Hong Kong's approach to mental health? How comfortable are people discussing it?
Yeah, so culturally in Hong Kong, we don't actually talk about mental health. And that's one of the biggest underlying issues in society here. With regards to COVID or not, that's always been a problem. So culturally, within families, we don't really talk about our mental health issues.
That's why Aaron started his podcast. The first episode aired this year in January. He hopes that it will generate more conversation about mental health.
The biggest problem I feel with something like COVID coming to Hong Kong is that these issues will be more pressing.
How would you like to see conversations around mental health issues develop after the pandemic?
I think when this pandemic ends, I think the perception of mental health will change, not just in Hong Kong, but around the world. I think it's something that I've been hearing more and more of now. I think before the pandemic, mental health was something that was, you know, starting to become on the forefront of people's minds. And I think this has just really added on to that. And I think my hope is anyway, that, you know, a focus can be towards not just recovering from mental health with regards to the pandemic, but how we can improve mental health as a whole.
Back in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I live, sometimes referred to as the Mecca of the LGBT community, the pandemic is having a unique impact.
What we know is that queer and trans youth are disproportionately impacted by mental health concerns. There's an incredibly high rate of suicide. It's an incredibly high rate of PTSD, anxiety, depression.
That's LJ Johnson, a therapist working at a public health clinic in San Francisco serving queer and trans youth.
One of these things that this epidemic has shown is that we have such a poorly funded public health system, even in a place like San Francisco that does have public health available, that it was already stretched thin, and we're seeing more and more of that, yeah. And so a lot of that work is falling on teachers, it's falling on primary care providers, it's falling on people that are not trained in mental health, but are doing mental health work in their communities because they're the ones that have access to young people.
What are some of the worst scenarios you've seen?
I think specifically about a lot of the youth I work with who have had to go back into the closet. So who may have relationships in their community with their school or their teachers where they can be themselves, they can go by their name, by their pronouns, and are living in unsafe situations, or are living in unstable situations where on top of having to kind of hide or protect an identity are now experiencing homelessness.
Wow, that sounds really tough. Have there been any examples that have given you hope during this time?
One thing that gives me hope in this pandemic is that people are finding ways to take care of each other, you know, and if there is an opening, people will take it. People are providing it for one another. You know, I think even about I think about youth that are taking things that they learn in therapy and they're teaching them to their friends, you know, and what an incredible thing that is.
After my conversations, I became hopeful. The pandemic is placing a great burden on people's mental health, but it may also be killing the stigma to talk about it. I'm not alone in my struggles, and I'm encouraged that there are many people around the world who are working hard to make us happier. For OnSpec, this is Casper Dilmagani in Oakland.
Thank you, Casper, and thank you for listening to On Spec. This story was edited by me, produced by Oscar Durand, music by Hinterheim and Yehezkel Ross, translation by Helene Suarez and Emiliano Villa, voiceover by Claudia Manriquez. You can read more about our mental health coverage by Casper in our Reporter's Notebook blog at onspec.news. We will continue our pandemic coverage. Our next episode is about how food has become a shared experience on lockdown. We'll take you to New York City for that one. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or review On Spec on iTunes. Tell your friends to listen as well. We welcome your feedback.